Når du forestiller deg et innbrudd, så ser du for deg drama.
Okay, se om du finner noen passord.
Kaos. At noen tar på det som ditt, invaderer det du har nærest.
Finn kort informasjon.
Det som bare du og kjæresten din vet om.
Masse private bilder. Nydelig.
Men sannheten at mens et digitalt innbrudd pågår, så merker du ingenting.
For sikkerhetens skyld inkluderer vi sikkerhetstjenester i våre abonnement. Bli tryggere på telenor.no/sikkerhet.
En podcast fra Podplay.
Iron Maiden to me is sort of metal prog. They're very prog rock, and I don't think that's a bad term.
Gammel Maiden.
Yes, vente da på at Alice Cooper skal ringe til meg. Det helt sjukt. Vegard fra barneskolen, du som var sånn Alice Cooper-fan, vet du hva? Kjære Vegard, nå skal Alice Cooper ringe til meg. Det ganske spesielt. Fikk vesta i går. Alice Cooper kommer jo til Norge snart, så har du lyst på en liten telefonsamtale? Ja, så klart har jeg lyst å snakke med den fyren her. Han har, altså 10 år før jeg ble født, så var han rockestjerne, Alice Cooper Band, og ja, har inspirert veldig, veldig, veldig mange i over 50 år, det helt sjukt. Litt nervøs også, vet du.
Gammel Maiden med Torkel Torsvik.
Hello, Torkel.
Hey, Alice.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am great. We have a show tonight in Leeds.
Okay.
And that'll be our last British show, and then we come over to the continent.
Aha. So you haven't come overseas yet?
Not yet. We're from America, so yeah, we came over glad to get here. But we haven't been over to Europe yet, you know.
Okay. I'm looking forward to the concert. It's on Tuesday, actually.
Yes, all right. This band that I'm bringing in is the best band I've ever worked with. I mean, my guitarist, Nita Strauss, a female guitar player who looks like a model and plays like Eddie Van Halen. she was voted guitarist of the decade in Guitar Magazine.
I know.
And my drummer was voted number one drummer in rock and roll a couple of years ago. So this band is a monster band.
And how long do you think you can keep Nita Strauss in your band?
Well, you know, I tell everybody in my band, if they get a chance to do their own, she has her own band too, you know, but it's not in the least bit as big as the, you know, audiences that we play with my band. So I tell everybody when they think they're ready, you know, to do their own thing, that feel free. There's never going to be any bad blood behind that. My band is always sort of a springboard for a lot of different guys that came through my band and have their own careers now. So Nita knows that, and Orianti knew that, and Kane Roberts and Kip Wenger, all the people that played with me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got their education playing in the Alice Cooper show.
Wow. And you've been around for ages. You're the godfather of shock rock, but maybe the most shocking thing here is that you're still around. How do you keep on going?
I agree with that. You know, it's so funny because people ask me what's the most shocking thing. And I say the fact that we're into the sixth decade of doing this and the shows are better now than they were back then. So, you know, that's the shocking part of it. I don't really think you can shock an audience anymore. I don't think you can really do anything that the audience would be really shocked at. So my stage show is still very theatrical. It's just the fact that, you know, audiences now know I'm going to do the guillotine. And they now know that this is going to happen and there'll be a straitjacket and this and that. So now it's just part of the show. You know, it's not really a shock.
So we can expect the good old Alice Cooper on Tuesday. You haven't been softening up in the pandemic years.
Well, we had 2 years off. I mean, we had 18 months where, you know, we couldn't do anything. So it's like a racehorse not being able to race. You know, you just sort of waiting around, waiting to get out there and do it again. Mm-hmm. And that was a hard period of time, I think, for everybody.
Yeah.
But we made an album. We made the Detroit Stories album, and that album went to number one first week. So it was productive for us. It's just that we were dying to get back on stage.
But I just know my father, he's 68 years old. If he went on a trip, like a tour, like you're doing right now, he would die after a week, I think. How do you do it?
Well, first of all, you have to be in shape. I never smoked, and I quit drinking 40 years ago. I've been married 46 years, and my wife is the greatest wife ever. She's in the show. When you see her in the show, you're going to be surprised. She plays three characters in the show. A whip dancer, she plays a dead bride, and she plays Mademoiselle Guillotine. And she's gorgeous. I mean, she's really something. So I have a very happy life. I have great kids. I've got great grandkids. So there's really nothing that stresses me out. You know, I don't get stressed out.
Your wife, Cheryl, is she with you like in every tour?
Not every tour, because when we had our kids, you know, of course, she couldn't tour when our kids were, you know, were being brought up. So my daughter, my oldest daughter, ended up doing a lot of the stage shows. She's now in a band called Bisto Blanco, and she's a improv comedian. But, I mean, if anybody was ever going to play Alice Cooper, she would probably play Alice Cooper better than anybody.
I'm looking forward to seeing both you and your wife on Tuesday. I got this podcast here. It's called Gammal Maiden, translated like Old Maiden, Vintage Maiden, because that was the band that, it just exploded in my head when I heard it, and I became a rocker. And the podcast is about the bands that influenced us in our youth. So which kind of bands, or what did you listen to when you were a kid?
Well, you know, we were one of those bands that we were 15 years old when the Beatles came out and when the Rolling Stones came out. So all of that British invasion really affected us. As soon as we saw on television, we saw the Rolling Stones and the Beatles and the Yardbirds and the Who and the Kinks.
Yeah.
The first thing I wanted to do was start a band, you know, and that's where all the American bands started right then. And so we were in high school, 15 years old, and we started our bands. But the band we learned the most from the Beatles in writing songs.
Yeah.
And then we got that edge listening to the Yardbirds and the Who, you know, because we were a hard rock electric guitar band, and that's what we wanted to be. We wanted to be nothing more than a real hard rock band, and that's what we still are. When you see it, we have three guitar players in the band, and it is just really hard rock.
Yeah.
But I was influenced mostly, I would say, by the Yardbirds and the Who.
Oh, nice bands there. And then
those were the bands. If you listen to a song like Happenings 10 Years Time Ago by the Yardbirds,
yeah,
that song is still ahead of its time even now.
Yeah. And then your band was signed by Frank Zappa, isn't that right? Did you go to his concerts in the early days?
Well, we knew, Frank Zappa was the maestro. You know, there were two or three maestros in rock and roll. Brian Wilson was one from the Beach Boys. Frank Zappa was another one that even the greatest bands in the world and even the greatest musicians in the world respected Brian Wilson, Lennon McCartney, and Frank Zappa. They were the geniuses, the guys that did things that, I mean, Frank Zappa could also, you know, direct the London Philharmonic Orchestra. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he was that knowledgeable. But he was the only one that saw potential in us. Everybody else just thought that we were too weird, you know. and Frank Zappa said, no, they're perfect for me. Yeah. So once we did an album with him, the album that really took off was Love It to Death with Bob Ezrin. Bob Ezrin came into the scene and took all of the things that we knew how to do and put them into a really great package, mm-hmm. really a musical package that were just everybody could listen to and go, oh man, that's Alice Cooper. Before that, we were a little bit too abstract. You know, we were fun to watch, but you couldn't put us in a category.
You've been playing with like everyone. You started up in the late 60s, right? So when when Iron Maiden then started making albums in 1980, can you remember the first time you heard Iron Maiden? It's a regular question in this podcast.
It was kind of interesting because, you know, all the American bands, the British bands that came up from there were Black Sabbath and Deep Purple and bands like that. And then the next generation after that was Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, and they were pretty heavy. Mm. I mean, they were considered heavy metal. Now that I listen to Iron Maiden and Judas Priest is much more of a hard rock band.
Yeah.
And Iron Maiden to me is sort of metal prog. They're very prog rock, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't think that's a bad term. People kind of think of prog rock as Emerson, Lake and Palmer or King Crimson. But if you take that type of music and you add metal to it, that's pretty much what Iron Maiden is. They're like a metal prog band.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite song? Is it a prog song or a shorter one, like a hit?
Well, I think if I was going to pick one song from, you know, from the era that we're talking about, I would have to say it would have been Happenings 10 Years Time Ago by the Yardbirds. I would say that song had Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page on the same song. So it was very, very an interesting song. But if you listen to Shapes of Things or all those Yardbird songs, they were all very futuristic.
And if you should pick one Iron Maiden song, would that be a proggy?
Well, Number of the Beast is. Well, let me think. That's kind of like picking your favorite Beatles song, right? I mean, because there's so many good ones, you know.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
There are so many.
There's so many good ones, yeah.
Yeah.
And we toured with them, you know. We had a tour. We toured with them.
Yeah, I know.
And we had a great. We had a really good time with them. They were really, really good guys, you know.
I think 12 years ago, I saw you and Maiden in Stockholm.
That's right. Yeah, we did. We did. We ended up going to Istanbul with them, and we did a really good tour with them. All of us really, really had a good time together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Let me think. I would say maybe. I think Number of the Beast might be one of my favorite ones.
Kind of impossible not to think about that song when we talk about Maiden here.
Yeah, it's sort of like if somebody says Alice Cooper, they think School's Out, you know?
Yeah. Which I love, of course. So,
well, it was an anthem. You know, when I started studying what an anthem was, the very first anthem I think I ever heard was probably My Generation by The Who.
Yeah.
And that really made so much sense to us that they were talking about every 16-year-old kid for the next 100 years would totally relate to I Hope I Die Before I Get Old.
Yeah.
You know, and the song itself with the big guitars, the power chords. I mean, if that wasn't one of the first metal songs, I don't know what was.
And the stuttering, vocals from Daltrey. So,
I love it. The stuttering and, all of that stuff really made sense to us.
Yeah.
We were still in high school when that song came out. So, of course, we learned it immediately, and it made sense to us. Later on, when we wrote 18 and School's Out, which were two of our anthems, we just kind of patterned it after what will every kid relate to? Every kid relates to turning 18, and every kid hated school.
Yeah.
So, so let's write about those two things.
I know a lot of bands that's writing lyrics about just that. And we got one band in Norway, Turbo Negro. You heard of them?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I know. In fact, the lead singer just passed away, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And I know they are huge fans of Alice Cooper. So.
Oh, yeah. I talked to him many times, and they were big Alice Cooper fans. In fact, when they won the songwriting contest, I think it was, the big European songwriting contest, that song felt a little bit like Poison.
Yeah. they actually stole a lot of melodies and tricks from Alice Cooper songs. Like,
well, honestly, when you're a songwriter, there's only so many chords and there's only so many melody lines, and it's almost impossible not to pick up on something that somebody else had already written. We just call it like borrowing. Nobody's really stealing anything. We're just, we borrowed a little bit from the Stones. We borrowed a little bit from The Who. We borrowed a little bit. And then after our thing, people borrowed a little bit from Alice Cooper, and they borrowed a little bit from Iggy,
Yeah.
As long as it's not like obvious and a direct steal,
Yeah, I remember now that they got this like it, love it, like it, love it.
And yeah,
I think you did something similar in the early days.
Yeah, 18, the end of 18 is that.
Yeah,
yeah.
it's been so nice talking to you. Congratulations with the album Detroit Stories. You made that in the pandemic.
During the plague. Yeah, I call it the plague.
The plague. And it's. Do you have time to tell us about the name Detroit Stories? Why that name of the album?
Well, we were going to make an album, a hard rock album. And the only place you can make a hard rock album is in the home of hard rock, in Detroit. So when I got there, we decided not just is it going to be about Detroit, but let's use all Detroit players. Let's use the drummer from Mitch Ryder. Let's use the guitar player from MC5. all of those things. I just used all Detroit guys.
I saw the list on the album. Like, you found every huge musician from Detroit there, I think.
and they were all so good. That instead of layering the album, normally you put drums and bass down, then you put a guitar down, then you put this down. I just said, this band needs to play live. They should learn all the songs, and they'll do the songs 10 times live, and we'll pick the best cut, the best take. And that's how we did it.
Yeah.
You're listening to a podcast. I'm Bruce Dickinson. You're not. And you're listening to Gamal Maiden.
And I love the album. It's so nice. Do you think... do you have more albums in you, Alice?
Well, we just finished the next album.
Ah, okay.
And the album after that is about half done.
Oh my God, what's so, in your...
Yeah, there's no retirement in my future at all. I don't ever even think about retiring.
But in the same time, we lose really good rockers every year because of drinking and drugs. But you just stopped overnight. How did that happen?
I stopped 40 years ago. Drinking and drugs. I never smoked cigarettes, which was good. But I was throwing up blood in the morning because I was ready to die pretty much. Went into the hospital and I came out and I never had another craving for alcohol or drugs. And I give all that credit to God. God just took it away from me. He kind of like healed me from it. And I never ever had a craving. I never had to go to AA. I never had to have a sponsor, any of that. I never cheated, you know. Hmm. So I look at it as a biblical miracle that Alice Cooper got sober overnight.
It sounds like a miracle because suddenly you're backstage. You have to wait like for 5 hours and you have nothing to do. Isn't it like, it would be nice to have a drink?
No, never. That would be the last thing I would think about. That
wow.
would be, you know, I keep myself really busy. You know, I mean, I don't, first of all, I don't get to the show till about an hour and a half before I have to go on.
Okay.
And so, you know, I get there and I have a whole set idiosyncrasies that I do before I go on stage. And then when I hit the stage, I become Alice for an hour and a half. And then when I leave stage, I leave Alice on the stage.
And then you're keeping yourself busy right now. Like, what's the time now where you are?
It's
is it in the morning?
No. It's we're here in London. I mean, we're here in England.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah. It's only quarter to four right now.
Okay,
and,
I just
we're going to the show. We have a show tonight in Leeds. We're playing in Leeds tonight. Yeah.
I just misunderstood the whole thing.
I'm in England.
Yeah, because now you're going to play like three shows before you come here to Norway. Okay, der det kutta han faktisk linja, ja. Men da det jævlig bra. Misforstod det. Leeds kan jo være en plass, New Leeds borti USA der, samme det. Herregjemen, jeg har pratet med Alice Cooper. Jeg snakket med en fyr like før her som sa, du får et kvarter, så han var sikkert sur nå av å bare kutte linja mi, mens sånn det. Alice Cooper skal jeg se på tirsdagen, og jeg gleder meg. Det her var utrolig artig for en fin fyr. Håper du har koset deg du også. Og takk for at du hører på Gammal Maiden.
Gammal Maiden med Torkel Torsvik. En podcast fra Radio Rock. She started shaking to that fine, fine music. And her life was saved by rock and roll.
Du har hørt en podcast fra Podplay. En enklere måte å høre podcast på. Last ned appen Podplay, eller se podplay.no.
Når du forestiller deg et innbrudd, så ser du for deg drama.
Okay, se om du finner noen passord.
Kaos. At noen tar på det som ditt, invaderer det du har nærest.
Finn kort informasjon.
Det som bare du og kjæresten din vet om.
Masse private bilder. Nydelig.
Men sannheten at mens et digitalt innbrudd pågår, så merker du ingenting.
For sikkerhetens skyld inkluderer vi sikkerhetstjenester I våre abonnement. Bli tryggere på telenor.no/sikkerhet.